Following a series of mass shootings in the U.S., most notably in Uvalde, Texas, and Buffalo, New York, President Biden signed a bill into law, that had bipartisan support for measures intended to, among many provisions, keep guns out of the hands of people with mental health challenges and who have committed domestic violence. The law also includes an effort to limit gun trafficking between the U.S. and Mexico, which many hope will reduce border violence and the power of drug cartels. Ewan Grillo has written about the gun trade in Mexico for more than 20 years and is with me to talk about the new law. So, Ewan, why do you believe the law signed by President Biden will have an impact on gun trafficking?
It hits two of the key issues very squarely. One of them is looking at how the cartels and the gangs acquire firearms. And one of the biggest ways they get them is through what are known as straw buyers, straw purchasers, who are people with clean records who are paid to go and buy the guns. Now, currently or before the act, they were generally given probation for this crime. The crime was really considered lying on the form. And even in cases, you know, I looked at where guns were consciously trafficked to cartels who then even killed American agents with them in Mexico, you saw people only getting probation for these crimes. And that is changing. Now they're looking to really up the sentences on that crime. So that could, you know, really be a game changer. So, you know, it says here now, you know, it has up to 15 years in prison even. We'll see exactly how many, you know, what we last sentenced for. And another thing is you have a lot of people, and I've seen, again, a lot of cases of this, and I went into gun shows and recorded this happening as well. You see people abusing the law and abusing the idea of private sales when really they're engaged in the business of selling firearms. So people who are openly selling large amounts of guns, in some cases I've seen, you know, cases of people selling more than 1,000 guns, which are going to cartels, and they're saying, well, we're just private sellers when they're abusing this. Now that is also going after that and really upping the sentences for that. Right now it's just saying, well, you're engaged in the business without a license, but now it's really, really going after that. And it's actually making, you know, going after people who are trafficking, moving these guns from state to state or over the border. Before, there was no actual kind of federal law on trafficking firearms, and it has that in. So I think these are really important measures.
I want to ask you about this lawsuit the Mexican government filed last year, this $10 billion lawsuit. Is there a degree to which there's concern that the industry is undermining efforts to keep the guns out of the hands of some of these bad actors in Mexico?
I think generally the attitude of a lot of people is if I'm not breaking a direct law, then I don't have to worry about where the consequences are, where this gun ends up. So like, you know, like, and somebody was quite honest about this. I said, are you really concerned if, you know, if the gun ends up and it's used to kill people? Well, look, I'm not. If I'm not breaking immediate law. So what you see in terms of this trafficking to Mexico, or firearms to the cartels in Mexico, we're talking about a huge amount. I mean, estimates of over 200,000 firearms a year going to Mexico and to some of the most violent criminal organizations on the planet. Then you see, you know, very large amounts of guns being sold in these stores, particularly in Arizona, in Texas, in Florida, and also other, you know, other ways of people kind of hiding it through private sales or so forth. And I think, well, I'm not, you know, in the industry, you know, that you can tell your numbers, you can see as a gun manufacturer that you've got a huge amounts of sales in these places, but I'm, you know, it's not my responsibility where this ends up, and we're obeying the laws here. But what this Mexican lawsuit does, it puts pressure on the companies to say, well, look, you know, you're aware of this, what are you doing to stop this? Is it enough to simply say, oh, it's not my responsibility where it ends up? What are you doing to stop this? Now, there are gun sellers, and I've talked to gun sellers in Arizona who are concerned about this. And one gentleman who actually worked as a confidential informant for the ATF and then felt very betrayed by the ATF over this, and was saying, I sell AR-15s, but I don't want them going to Mexican cartels, and I do want to try and stop this industry. So I'm not saying that every gun seller, you know, is in the same way, everyone in the industry is in the same way. But I think the lawsuit brings the issue to the open. I think it was a part of the pressure, which added to having measures in this bill. And also does put pressure on the gun industry, on the gun companies to defend themselves and say, okay, are we actually, you know, what are we actually doing here? Where are our weapons actually going?
When it comes to the actual ability for the U.S. with the new law to be able to crack down on some of this, for some people in Arizona, they think about the Fast and Furious and how that was this botched operation. Is there confidence that the U.S. government and law enforcement agents have the resources they need or the knowledge they need to actually put this law to good use?
Yeah, sure. If you look at Fast and Furious, and I looked at this very carefully, I actually interviewed President of Mexico, Felipe Calderon, who was the president during this operation, about exactly what he knew about this, looked very closely at the documents and everything in that case. And one of the things you see in the case of Fast and Furious, which was a travesty and a terrible botched operation, one of the things you see in that case was the fact that for the ATF agents, that because it's very hard to get to do much against the straw buyers, they try and build up this complex conspiracy case. So rather than saying, well, you know, you've got somebody and you follow them to the shops and you've seen them buying these weapons. And there was people in Fast and Furious case who, you know, was a guy who bought $500,000 worth of firearms for cartels and they watched him do it. But you couldn't immediately stop this guy and send him to prison because the only recommended sentencing for the straw buying was probation. So you try and build up this big conspiracy case, like a bit like the kind of aiming at imitating these big drug conspiracy cases. Now, with this new law, if it's applied, you could actually stop people there and say, we don't have to, you know, watch them. You can actually bring these cases right away. And things, a lot of prosecutors would not want to take cases when it was only going to be probation. You know, what was the point? But now you can say, well, look, these are serious cases. If you're, you know, they should make publicity about this, but say, like, if you're buying firearms, which are going to drug cartels, you know, you should pay consequences for that. You know, these are serious crimes. These are used in a large amount of murders, including the murder of American agents, including crimes that are driving refugees and migrants to the southern border. So I think this could be a game changer and not have the agents being taking the path of going to these conspiratorial cases that they went after, like Fast and Furious.
That is Johan Grillo, who's a journalist and writer based in Mexico City. He's written a number of books about the gun trade, including Blood, Gun, Money, How America Arms Gangs and Cartels. We've been talking about the bill just signed into law by President Biden related to gun reform. Johan, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks. Anytime. All the best there.